Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
If you have a Bible this morning, I would ask you to pick up that Bible and have it ready to follow along. I will do something a little different this morning. I do not have a single text to begin with. So grab that Bible and be ready to follow along if you would. I have been trying to preach the gospel of God's free-reigning grace for 35, 36 years now. And generally, I found it to generally be the case, not every case, but when someone hears I'm a preacher, there is generally one question that's asked. This is very common. The question is generally this: what denomination are you? I don't know, there's no way I could count or remember how many times I've heard that question. What denomination are you? Now, I want you to hear me this morning. And listen to what I have to say. I don't say this to be harsh or cruel by any means, but that question is not the correct question. But I understand the reason for the question. The question is really asked. Most people ask that question. What denomination are you? It's actually asked for this reason. Give me a moniker. Give me a title. Give me a denomination. Give me a phrase. Give me a word, so I can immediately judge whether I want to listen to you or not. If I say I'm a Baptist and someone is a Methodist, they will immediately say, well, but I'm a Methodist. I don't really need to listen to that person. What is sad is this, and I mean this with all the sincerity that God has given me. Why is it that men and women, boys and girls, when they find out someone is a preacher, or even if they hear someone professes to believe, why is the question not this? What do you preach about Christ? Why is it then when people find out I'm a preacher, why do they not ask the question, what do you preach about Christ? When someone hears that another person professes to believe, well, what do you believe? What denomination are you? What do you believe about this subject or that subject? Why is it that men and women do not ask this question, what do you believe about Jesus Christ? Again, I say, I understand why. Most people ask the question, what denomination are you? So that they can immediately determine whether they really want to listen, to pay heed to, or just listen to what a person has to say. Well, Scripture. That is, the God-breathed writings. Scripture never requires. It never requires a denominational name. It never does. Most who profess to preach will acknowledge this, that the Scriptures never requires a denominational name. Yet, religiousness in this world demands people pigeonhole, especially a preacher. They want to know what denomination you hold to. Nevertheless, since many want to know, and many have asked me, they find out, especially when they find out I preach and my messages, some of them are on TV, this question has been asked over and over and over. What denomination are you? Well, I will attempt to answer that. Do you have that Bible handy? I hope you do. You have that Bible handy? Get it out now. Turn that Bible to 1 Peter chapter 3 to begin with. And I will, if time permits me, I will have four statements to make. And we will look at Scripture in light of all these statements. If I were to say to you, if I were to say these words, baptism doth also now save us. Someone may question or asks the question, well, are you Church of Christ? Those who hold to the Church of Christ denomination believe strongly in baptism. Are you Church of Christ? You just said baptism doth also now save us. Well, I want you to hear the central passage of the scripture on what men and women call Christian baptism. Now, it doesn't tell us the mode of baptism, grant you, but it does tell us what baptism is and what baptism is not. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. Hope you have that Bible. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. The like figure. He's talking about it is a corresponding type. Just like he says in verse 20, there were 8 souls saved by water. That's in the days of Noah. Now, the water did not save Noah and his family. The ark, literally speaking, the ark saved Noah and his family. But the waters bore up that ark. And that water drowned thousands, if not millions, if not billions of people. But he says, Peter says, verse 21 of 1 Peter 3, the like figure. So baptism is a figure. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Then we see clearly Peter's explanation. Not, that is, baptism is not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. That's not what baptism does. Baptism is not about physical cleansing of the body, nor is it about some spiritual cleansing of the soul. It's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. So then what is baptism? Here's what baptism is. But the answer, that is the response, the seeking response, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. That's what baptism is. So let's read it in its full. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Then Peter continues on with his thought, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our salvation. Who, that is Christ, is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject to him. It is the sovereign Christ who saves. And baptism is the answer. It is the response of a conscience that God Almighty has made good in regeneration and conversion by the gospel. Baptism is the response of that good conscience. You see, the scripture says, baptism doth also now save us. But the Church of Christ denomination makes baptism a sacrament. Do you hear what I just said? They may not use the word, but that's their doctrine. I am not a Church of Christ. I am not of the denomination of the Church of Christ. But I believe what this book says in its truth. And let me say this to you. Any man or woman, any boy or girl, who refuses what is called Christian baptism, they refuse to be immersed in water in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, manifests rebellion against God, and thus manifests they do not have a good conscience. So I am not Church of Christ. That is not my denomination. I cannot teach that baptism is a sacrament. That is, baptism can actually justify you before God. That baptism can actually reconcile you to God. This book does not teach that. That baptism actually washes away your sins. It does not teach that. As a matter of fact, Peter says it does not. Baptism is the answer, the response of a good conscience toward God. Now, here's another thing. If I say God chose and predestinated a people, if I say those words, some would ask the question, well, are you of the Primitive Baptist denomination? Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. If I say God chose and predestinated, some would ask, well, are you not a Primitive Baptist? Do not Primitive Baptists teach that? Now, let's look at the central passage on this subject. Ephesians chapter 1. I'll begin in verse 3. Ephesians 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And how did he do that? Look at it. According as he hath chosen us in him that is in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Do you see it? That's what it says. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Well, if I believe that, doesn't that make me a primitive Baptist? No. That makes me, if I believe this, one who believes the truth of the scriptures. You see, sadly, I do not say this joyfully, sadly, many primitive Baptists deny the remainder of this passage. And the remainder of this passage goes on, listen to what else it says, goes on to say in Ephesians 1 verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted. That is, these people who were chosen, that is, elected and predestinated even before the foundation of the world. But it says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You see, many primitive Baptists deny this, the remainder. Some teach that there are some, at least some, who are elected and predestinated, but they are never converted by the gospel. This is not the doctrine of Scripture. Thus, I am not a primitive Baptist, at least not of that ilk. You see, this book teaches that those whom God chose and those whom God predestinated, he chose them to be saved by the preaching of the gospel. And he chose them, he predestinated rather, them unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. And that, according to Scripture, is where they cry out within their innermost being, Abba, or Papa, Father. They cry out to God in a living union with Jesus Christ. So no, I am not a primitive Baptist. I'm not Church of Christ. I am not primitive Baptist. Now, I'm not trying to pick on certain denominations, but you and I know, you know, if you're honest with yourself, if you're honest with yourself, and if I'm honest with you, we know that different denominations hold to different facts or doctrines or things to which they hold to be the truth. A believer, a born-again believer, believes all the truth of God. Let me go on. Let me give you a third thing. If I say that a man or a woman needs rest, that is, a man or a woman, young or old, doesn't matter what your race is, doesn't matter what the color of your skin is, it does not matter what your background is, a man or a woman, young or old, boy or girl, they need rest. Someone then may ask me the question, well, are you a Seventh-day Adventist? Seventh-day Adventists lay great stress upon the rest of the Sabbath, the keeping of the Sabbath day. Now, let me say that there are those who profess to be Christians that teach that God changed the seventh-day rest, that is, the seventh-day Sabbath, and changed it to the first day, that is, Sunday. And that is nowhere taught in the Scriptures. But am I a Seventh-day Adventist because I say that a man or woman needs rest? Well, I want you to turn to the central passage which teaches about this Sabbath rest, that is, this rest. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Here's the central passage, Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, that means Sabbath, of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed, do enter into rest, or that is Sabbath. Do you see it? We which have believed, not we which gather on Saturdays, or we which gather on Sundays. It has nothing to do with a specific day. It has to do with a specific person. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. That is to say, somebody's going to enter into this rest. But some did not. But God ordained it. God ordained this rest. And God meant for some to come into this rest before the foundation of the world. Look, he goes on. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. And this is talking about the creation. And God did rest the seventh day from all his works. Why did God rest? God did not rest because he was tired. God rested because he was done. God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. He's not talking about keeping a Sabbath day, so-called Levitical or Christian Sabbath day. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in, not because they didn't keep the sixth day or the seventh day or the first day or the second. It doesn't matter. Not because of that, but because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Look at it. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he hath also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And let me give you this. Listen to me. Hear my words now. This labor is a labor of attitude. It is not a labor of actions. So no, I'm not a Seventh-day Adventist, but I do believe in God's rest. And I do believe that a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, young or old, they must enter into that rest. And how do they enter that rest? By faith in Jesus Christ. That's the doctrine of Holy Scripture. So, no, I'm not of the Church of Christ denomination. I am not of the Primitive Baptist denomination. And no, I am not a Seventh-day Adventist. But let me give you another one. If I were to say to you, a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, young or old, rich or poor, bond or free. If I were to say to you, a man needs a priest. If I were to say to you, a man, a woman needs a priest. Someone may then ask me this question. Well, are you a Roman Catholic then? I want you to stay where you are. Hebrews chapter 4. This is the central passage upon the priesthood. As a matter of fact, the whole book of Hebrews has much to say about the priesthood. It has much to say about the priesthood under the Levitical law, and it has much to say about the priesthood of Jesus Christ. And it has nothing to say about a man-made, man-ordained priesthood. Nothing whatsoever. Here's the central passage. Let's go on in Hebrews 4, where it was talking about this rest. Verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now you may say, what about this priesthood? You talk about priesthood. Yes, we're going to see about priesthood. But first of all, let's see. The word of God must come in and cut you both ways. God Almighty uses his preached word. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It does not, in the scripture, say anywhere it pleased God by you going into the confessional to confess your sins to a priest and God will save you. The book of God does not teach that. God's word, the preaching of Jesus Christ, must come in and conquer your soul. Let's go on. Verse 13 of Hebrews 4. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his or God's sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And look at it. Here it is. Here we're getting to it. I say this. A man or a woman needs a priest. They need a priest. They must have a priest. Look, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Our profession of him. It doesn't say hold fast to your profession. Hold fast professing Christ. That's what it says. Let us hold fast our profession. Now look at it. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, which is to say, that's put in the negative, it is to say by the writer of Hebrews, we have, that is those which have believed, those which have entered into God's Sabbath, that is God's rest, those who have believed Christ, because Christ is the gospel. The gospel is the message of God, according to Paul in Romans chapter 1. The gospel is the message of God concerning his Son. For we do have a high priest, and he can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Not a confessional. And let me tell you something. Not coming forward to the front of some so-called church. There are many Baptists and Presbyterians and Methodists in our day that have set up a priesthood very similar to that of the Roman Catholics. And they believe you have to come forward and confess your sins to some preacher. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. Grace to help in time of need. So no, I am not a Roman Catholic, but we must have a priest. And God's people have a priest. And that priest is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You see, again, I say these words to you. And I mean this with all the sincerity that dwells within me. The question is not, what denomination are you? The question is not even, what do you believe? Well, do you believe in eternal security or do you not believe in eternal security? The question is, do you believe God's Son? Have you fled for refuge to the hope that is set before men and women, and that hope is none other than Jesus Christ? Yes? Those who believe Christ will be baptized. They will give that answer or that response unto God. They will go into the waters of baptism, a like figure, confessing publicly before men and women, I hold to the resurrected Jesus Christ, who is the sovereign over all things. Those who truly believe, they will confess that God Almighty chose and predestinated a people before the foundation of the world. Those who are God's people, they do, by faith, enter into God's Sabbath, that is, God's rest. They rejoice in that rest, and they don't do it one day a week. They do it 7 days a week. And yes, God's people come to a priest. They come to him who is God's great high priest. They need nothing or no one else. Jesus Christ is their all. So again, I say, people ask, well, what denomination are you? It saddens me to my soul. Because if men and women really understood the truth of God's holy word, their main thrust would be this. Even as our Lord Jesus Christ himself said, what think ye of Christ? Jesus Christ is the sum and substance of all things. I don't care what doctrine you hold to and how correct it is. If you've missed Jesus Christ, you've missed it all. So I hope you get the picture of what I'm saying. People have asked me, and probably no doubt will still continue to ask me, well, what denomination are you? That's not the point. I could go on without question and express more. I could go on quoting other passages, other particular passages that men and women hold to and say, this is the moniker of my denomination. But yet God's people hold to the whole of God's word. So I hope you get the picture. And as I say, I could express more, but time does not allow me to do so. But I am persuaded these four things I've given you say enough. You see, being caught up with God's Christ, it has no denominational moniker. Now, there's nothing wrong. You want to call yourself a Methodist, a Baptist, a Presbyterian, a Pentecostal. Do you hold to the truth of the person and work of Jesus Christ? That's the point. Being caught up with God's Christ has no denominational moniker. True Christianity. I said, true Christianity is to be caught up with God's Christ and the truth about him. The truth of who he is. The truth of what he accomplished when he came into this world. What he is doing now as he sits glorified at the right hand of God the Father. You see, denominationalism, and let me say non-denominationalism. You hear what I said? Denominationalism and non-denominationalism, if that's all you have, it is damning. And denominationalism and non-denominationalism is damning to your soul and my soul if it competes with Jesus Christ. I have a reminder, every Sunday morning on this same TV station, WVVACW, a portion of one of our Sunday morning messages can be watched at 12 noon. I would strongly encourage you to tune in if you can at 12 noon.